Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Thank you for coming. So last week, when we were learning Ner Ishu Beso, so at the end of the shiur, people started asking questions about lighting the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. There is a minhag to light the menorah in shul before Ma'ariv, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, when the Olam comes. And there's also a minhag to light the menorah for Shachris in the morning, although there's no mitzvah to light at home during the day, but there is a minhag to light the menorah in shul in the morning. So everybody was asking about this minhag and whether a child could light or not. So that inspired me that I should dedicate this shiur to that topic. Some more inyanim d'yoyma, that we should be able to talk about the chag and then inyanim and internalize it, and we should be able to gather in from the oiris, from the lights of Hanukkah. So Yasha Koyach for the idea to speak about this topic. We actually learned about this a couple of years ago. I think it was right before the COVID, if you remember that, pre-COVID a couple of years ago. So I decided I would like to review this topic and bring it back up again in order that we can totally understand, fully understand, or better understand where the custom comes from. So let's begin. As you notice, we're not starting this year the way we normally do because there's no Gemara about this. And that's part of the issue, that where does this minha come from? There's no Gemara about it. So it starts in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Chanukah, Siman Tav Resh Ayin Aleph, in Hilchas Chanukah. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, ubebeis HaKnesses, in the shul, manichoi bekoisel dorim, we place the menorah against the southern wall. So that's usually how we have it. The Aron Kodesh is usually in the east, and the menorah is placed along the southern side. Umadlikin, and we light the menorah in shul, in the Beis Knesses. Umavorchin, and we recite a bracha. Mishum persume nisa, in order to publicize the miracle. So although there is no obligation to light in the shul, and we learned last week that the primary obligation is in the home. Ner Ishu Beso, it's a din in the bayis, some mafarshim compare it to a mezuzah. A shul is not even obligated in the mezuzah, according to most poskim. Nevertheless, there's a custom to light the menorah in the shul, along the southern side of the shul, the southern wall, and we recite a bracha. And the Shulchan Aruch says the reason is persumei nisa. The Rama says, the Rama reminds us, ein adam yotzei v'neira shel beis haknesses, that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with the menoros that we're lighting in the shul. But tzorach lachzer ulahavlik bebeso, you would be obligated to relight the menorah in your home. So very often, by the time, depending what time you daven Ma'ariv, sometimes you already lit at home. But the Rama is speaking about a case where you did not yet light at home. They daven Ma'ariv on the earlier side, and you're lighting in shul. You have to go back and light at home. And the wording of the Rama is even the person that lit in the shul, not only the audience, the congregants, but even the one who lit the menorah in shul has to rekindle the candles at home, and he would recite the brachas again at home. Now, in item Beis, Yesh Lahadgish, so I wanted to point out, I wanted to emphasize, that the Rambam does not bring this minhag at all, and we're going to speak about that, we'll talk about that. Some people ask that as a question, and we will have an idea about that later on in this year. Now, the Rambam usually only brings what it says in the Gemara, but the Rambam does very often give us some background or what the minhag is in his locale. He does tell us about evolving minhagim. The Rambam does include those things in his Yad HaChazakah. And there's a glaring omission here, that there's no mention of this custom of lighting a menorah in shul found in the Rambam. Okay. Now, the Shiboyle Leket, one of the Rishonim, in Inyan Chanukah, in his Halachas of Chanukah, he refers to the section of his Sefer in Inyan Chanukah, Kuf Pei Hei. So he's nitchak b'tam minhag zeh. He struggles to understand the basis for this minhag. We're lighting a menorah in shul, and we're reciting a bracha, and as the Rama says, nobody can be yotzei with this hadlaka. So what kind of halakha is this, and how can we recite a bracha? So the Shiboli Leket writes there, Gam anu noegin lahalik b'beis haknesses. So the Shiboli Leket acknowledges that that's his minog as well, in his community, to light a menorah in the shul. However, lo yodanu shoyrish v'anuf l'minog hazeh. I don't know a shoyrish or an anuf. It's a very strong expression. Shoyrish is like a root, and anuf is like a branch, as if it's a tree. The root and the branch. I don't know any roots, like I don't have any foundation for this minog, and I don't even have an anuf. I can't even attach this minog to anything, like a branch, like zero. I can't come up with any idea what at all the basis for such a custom could be. And the Shiboli Leket goes on, Umoiri Rabbi Yehuda Achi, my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, my brother. It's interesting. Hayanimna malahadlika. So he would decline. Very often in the shul, they would offer him the honor of lighting the menorah, and he would be nimna malahadlika. He would decline the honor of lighting the menorah. Shaloi levarach aleha, because he was afraid to recite a blessing. B'chein daiti nota, and the Shiboli Leket says that's my opinion as well. I'm also inclined to think that way, that I don't really think we should be making a bracha. I acknowledge that the minhag is to light the menorah in shul, and I acknowledge that people have been making brachas over this kindling for generations, but my brother always like finds some excuse not to, and I also am inclined to do that. I'm cautious, I'm a little bit anxious about reciting this bracha, because I can't find any basis for such a minhag. So if everybody's lighting at home, what purpose can there possibly be for lighting a menorah in the shul? And now the Shiboli Leket, he gives us now a Pesach. He gives us now an opening, where this minig might have come, might have evolved from. And indeed, that will be one of the reasons offered by the other Mefarshim. So explains the Shiboli Leket. Ilu haya archin yeshenin bebeis haknesses. If it would have been like in the olden days that you would have guests or you would have travelers who are sleeping in the shul. Maybe there's a hospitality room in the shul and they're sleeping in the shul. Hayu hein tzrichim lahavlik. They would be required to light. The kaimel anachsanoi chaya b'ner chanuka. We spoke about this last week, that a guest, although he's not in his own home, a guest is obligated to light, provided that he doesn't have a family member lighting on his behalf back at home. We talked about that. So you have travelers staying in the shul, and they're obligated to light. So it would make sense that we're lighting in the shul in order to be moitzi, the travelers, the people that are spending the night in the shul. However, im ein sham orchen, but if there aren't any guests, being it the way it is now, that people do not ordinarily sleep in the shul, Matzarech lahadlik, why do we light? So the Shiboli Leket offers an explanation. Shema mipnei shehi beis dira lechazen haknesses. Maybe the chazen haknesses, the gabai, maybe he has an apartment in the shul. Dog okay, maybe that's where the minhag came from. But again, im kein hashta the lesbuhu beis dira, now that it's not that way, that the attendant of the shul does not sleep in the shul. You know, it used to be that the community mikvah, that the couple, the husband and the wife who ran the mikvah, they would have like an apartment in the mikvah building. I remember back in Long Beach, it was like that there was a community mikvah when I was growing up, and the couple who ran the mikvah, the man was in charge of the mikvah for the men before Yom Tif, and the woman was an attendant for the women attending the mikvah. They would have an apartment upstairs in the same building as the mikvah. So perhaps in the old days, the chazen haknesses, the gabai, would have a residence in the shul. But being the fact that it's not that way nowadays, if that's not the case, why do we light in the shul today? Ein lahadlik, we should not light. So that's the Shiboli Leket. He acknowledges the custom of lighting. He acknowledges people recite brachas over the lighting. But he doesn't have the foggiest idea what basis there is. Maybe in the old days there were guests, maybe there was a chazen haknesses, the gabai, who had a residence in the shul, but that's not the case. Why do we light a menorah in the shul before Ma'ariv? So the Sefer Kalboi, also a Rishon, in Simen Mem Dalet, he gives three reasons why we should light in the Beis HaKnesses. Noagu kol ha-makoymes lahadlik ner Chanukah b'sakneses. So the minog is to light a menorah in the shul, and it gives three reasons. So these three reasons are each one is like an interesting reason in and of itself, and we're going to discuss and we'll elaborate on each of these reasons based on the poskim. Reason number one, lahoitzi mi she'enu baki u'she'enu zariz bezois. It's a little bit ambiguous. To be moitzi someone who's not an expert, somebody who does not know how to light, or someone who's not zariz, someone who's not enthusiastic, who's going to be negligent, and he's going to neglect to light. He's not a baki, he doesn't know how to light, or he's not zariz, he's not careful to light. So perhaps we're lighting in the shul to be moitzi those who, for whatever reason, are not going to be lighting on their own. It's ambiguous because the question still stands, like the Ramah says, that you can't be yoitzi with this hadlaka. So this explanation still needs some beer. Explanation number two, reason number two, gam kihu hider mitzvah upirsim hanes. So we're going to speak more about this. Lighting in the shul is pirsume nisa. If you look back at how we started, that's actually what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says that we light the menorah in shul because of pirsume nisa. So this would be the second reason of the kolbay, that it's a pirsum hanes, it publicizes the miracle. It's a beautiful idea to publicize the miracle. The question, though, still stands, that how can we recite a blessing, a bracha, over such a hadlaka if it's not found in the Gemara, it's not part of the mitzvah, and nobody is being yoitzi with this hadlaka. So it's a beautiful idea to publicize the miracle, but how can we recite a bracha? And then reason number three, zecher lemikdash. It reminds us of what used to go on in the Beis HaMikdash. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, as we know, there was a menorah, it was in the Heichel, it was on the southern side of the Heichel, and the Kohen would light the menorah in the Heichel. It was part of the Avoda. Most of the Poskim say that most of the Rishonim learned that the menorah was cleaned. It was cleaned in the morning. That's referred to as Hatoves Haneros. They would clean the menorah in the morning, and the menorah would be kindled towards the evening. It would burn throughout the night, and then the cycle would repeat itself. The next morning, they would clean out the menorah, ready the menorah for the following evening's kindling, and they would light the menorah. This went on every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. This was the same menorah that the miracle occurred with, that the little oil that they had lasted for 8 days. But this was going on every single day of the year, that they would light a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash every single day of the year. So there are those who say, and this is the third reason of the Kolbay, that the minhag to lighting shul is to remind us of the fact that they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The shul is a mikdash ma'at. The shul in our gullus is like a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And we light the menorah in the shul to remind us of the fact that they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That explains why we light the menorah on the southern wall, against the southern wall, because that's where the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was situated. So we have the three reasons of the kolbay, and these now become the reasons that we have this minhag. Number one, to be moitzi someone who's not a baki. Number two, it's a hider mitzvah and it's persumei nisa. It adds to persumei nisa. And number three, zecher lemikdash. Again, all of these reasons need a little bit more, because how can you make up a minhag and recite a bracha over that? Okay. So let's go through each of the reasons, and each of the reasons has a little bit of an elaboration. The Beis Yosef says, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef writes in Tafresh Ayin Aleph, he writes the following. So I quoted the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. Nireh, it appears to me, she'tiknu kein that tatakana to light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, mipnei ha'archem. It's for guests. She'ein lohem bayis lahadlik bo, where they don't have a house of their own to light, they're passing through, they're in the shul, and we're being mitzi them with the menorah that we light in the shul. Now, he gives us a precedent. That's the same minhag that we recite the Kiddush Friday night in shul. Where did that minhag come from? It's really the same question. We recite Kiddush in the shul Friday night. Nobody's eating in the shul. Nobody's being yotzei with that Kiddush. That's the reason, by the way, that we give the wine to a child who's not obligated in Kiddush and who's allowed to eat before he hears Kiddush, before he hears his Kiddush at home by his Suda, because you're not Yotzi with this Kiddush. You need Kiddush b'makom Suda. The Kiddush has to be where you plan on eating. So where did this minhag to recite Kiddush come from? Again, it's because people used to be guests in the shul, they used to eat in the shul. And the Kiddush that we made Friday night was to be moitzi the people who are eating in the shul. So the Beis Yosef writes that this custom to light the menorah in shul evolved because we had guests who were staying in the shul, and by being lighting the menorah on their behalf, we're being moitzi the orchim, the achsenoyim, who are staying in the shul. Now, the Shiboli Leket in item Gimel earlier, so he suggested this idea, but he rejected it because there isn't anybody staying in the shul. We don't have guests in the shul, so why do we continue lighting in the shul? This same question is asked regarding the Kiddush. How could it be that we recite Kiddush in shul if nobody's being yotzi with the Kiddush? We paskin that you need Kiddush but makom suda, the Kiddush has to be where you eat. Nobody's yotzi the Kiddush that you hear in shul. If you go home, you have to recite the Kiddush over again. You're not yotzi the Kiddush in shul. So how do we continue reciting this Kiddush? So it's a very interesting thing that somehow this Kiddush was grandfathered in. That because the shuls used to recite the Kiddush when there were guests, it somehow became part of the davening and it was grandfathered in. And we realize that we're not being yotze with this Kiddush. We realize that we're not allowed to drink the wine. We give the wine to a child, but we continue reciting the Kiddush. It was grandfathered in. It's a holdover from when it was necessary to recite this Kiddush. So essentially, the Beis Yosef is saying the same thing regarding the menorah. It's a holdover. It was grandfathered in from the times that people needed this hadlaka, that people would be living in the shul, sleeping in the shul, and the neiros were lit on their behalf. Nowadays, there's nobody in the shul, but we continue lighting the neiros in the shul to remind us, it's a holdover from that original custom to be moitzi the people that really needed this hadlaka. So the Beis Yosef understands, Beis Yosef himself cites the Kolboy, and the Beis Yosef understands that the first reason of the Kolboy, that the Kolboy writes, we light the menorah to be moitzi someone who's not a bucky, he's not an expert, or he's not careful. The Beis Yosef must have understood the reason of the Kolboy to be referring to the archim, the guests who are in the shul, who are poor, they're not careful to light, they're not knowledgeable, so therefore we would be moitzi them in the shul. It's a little bit of an interesting thing because nowadays we're lighting in the shul and nobody's being yotze. Just on the side, when it comes to Kiddush, so not every shul recites Kiddush in the shul. So they actually, if that was the minig of the shul, they should continue doing so. And that became the minig of a Beis HaKnesses. But something like a Beis Medrash or a Yeshiva, they don't, because that was never the minig in a Beis Medrash. So it's very interesting that the Poskim say, continue whatever your minig was. The minig, because nowadays it's no longer necessary. Shuls had the custom originally, so they continue doing it. But the Midrashos, or other, a shtibel, for example, where it wasn't the case, they do not institute this minhag. That's the Beis Yosef. That's the Beis Yosef, how he understands the first reason of the Kolboy. It wasn't so apparent. I'm sorry?
Is this any different from Havdalah? Is it basically?
It's Havdalah is better. Havdalah is better because Havdalah doesn't require a Suda. So when the person is making Havdalah, he really is being Moitzi people. You could be Yotze Havdalah with the Havdalah that you hear in Shul. Because you don't have to have a Suda, you don't have to drink the wine. You could be Yotze Havdalah. So the Havdalah that they make in Shul, that they recite in Shul, serves a real purpose. The Kiddush that's being made in Shul serves no purpose at all. That's why the Chazan doesn't drink the wine, because nobody's being Yotze with that Kiddush. It's just a holdover from the times of old, when people were sleeping in the shul. Havdalah is different. Havdalah, you don't have to have a suda. There's no reason why you can't be yotze the Havdalah with the Havdalah that's being made in shul. People actually use that Havdalah to be yotze. But the Kiddush and the Ner Chanukah, you can't be yotze with that from the shul. So this is, according to the Beis Yosef, his explanation of the Kolboy, the first reason of the Kolboy, it's simply a holdover from an ancient custom. It was instituted as a help to the people that were sleeping in the shul, they were living in the shul, and for some reason or other, we continue doing it today, although today it doesn't serve any purpose. That is the first reason of the Kalvay, and that's how the Beis Yosef explains it. Now, moving on to the second reason of the Kalvay, that it's a Pirsum Hanes, it's a Hiddur Mitzvah. The Kshubas Rivash, the Rivash was a Talmud of the Ram, the Kshubas Rivash in Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, he asks, he also is struggling with this custom. He brings from the Shoyal, it's written in responsive form, so he brings that the petitioner asks, it would seem that the blessing that you recite over the menorah in Shul is a bracha levatala. It's a blessing in vain. It's reciting Hashem's name in vain. And that's really what the Shibboleth Leket referred to earlier. That's why he was reluctant to recite this bracha. He came up with an excuse. Whenever it was his turn to light, he declined. He came up with an excuse. So the petitioner asks the Rivash that l'chayra, the bracha we recite over the Ner Chanukah in Shul is a bracha levatala. So the Rivash answers no. Haminah Hazeh, this is item Vav in the Rivash, it's a quote from the Rivash. Haminah Hazeh lahavlik Beis HaKnesses minig vesikinu. The minhag to light in the Beis HaKnesses is a minhag vesikin. It's an ancient minhag vesikin. Vesikin means people that are very scrupulous in mitzvahs. It's a minhag vesikin, it's a beautiful minhag. Mishum persume nisa. Because of persume nisa, this is the Rivash, and this is echoing the second reason of the Kalvay. So says the Rivash, he gives us some explanation. It's a beautiful explanation. Because we can no longer fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety. Why? Because kol echad bebeisai, we can't fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety back at home, because the mitzvah in its entirety, the complete mitzvah, is shehi lahanicha al pesach beisai mibachutz, because the original way of performing this mitzvah, the way the Gemara describes, is to light and keep the menorah outdoors, outside, in order to have the maximum pesume nisa, b'kivon sha'ato shi'yad ha'umais takifa aleinu, because nowadays we're living in Galus, and the yad ha'umais takifa, the nations of the world, we're under the jurisdiction of the nations of the world, so in other words, we have to keep a low profile, we're not comfortable in Galus. So therefore, says the Rivash, we light, everybody lights at home. Nowadays, as we know, we light inside. We only have Pesumei Nisa for ourselves in our own home. We're not publicizing the miracle publicly, the way the mitzvah was meant to be performed back in the day, that they used to light the menorah outside. So says the Rivash, that's why they instituted to light the menorah in shul, in order to supplement, to complement the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have the maximum pesumei nisa. You have to light your menorah outside to publicize the nes. So I learned recently, it's a question, are you publicizing the nes to the Jewish people in the community? Are you even publicizing the nes to the broader community? We learned about that. But we're lighting outside to publicize the miracle. Nowadays, we don't do that anymore because we're under the jurisdiction of the non-Jews. We want to keep a low profile. We light inside the home. We're missing that element. We're missing that component of Pesumei Nisa, the public lighting of the menorah. So what do? Says the Rivash that the Chachamim of that generation instituted a supplement. In order to supplement, to complement the lighting that we do at home, we institute lighting in the shul. If we light in the shul, we have a public gathering of the people coming from Mincha and Ma'ariv, and it'll be the equivalent of lighting outside. So it's almost like the mitzvah of menorah was divided into two parts. It used to be that the one mitzvah, we fulfilled the ner ishu beisa, we lit at home, plus we maximized the pesumei nisa, we publicized the miracle outdoors. Nowadays, we don't have that second component with our lighting back home. So therefore, we institute lighting in the shul in order to complement, to supplement the pesumei nisa that we're missing in our own hadbaka back home. So it's a beautiful idea that it's like filling in what our hadbaka at home is missing. It's missing the publication of the mitzvah, so therefore publicizing the mitzvah. Therefore, we light the menorah in the shul to make up for that. That's the Rivash's reason. Now, the Rivash continues in item Zion. Afal pisha ein b'barachal anal minag. But what about the idea that it's only a minag? How do we recite the bracha over this? Because that wasn't the way that the kana was made. So how do we recite a bracha over this? So says the Rivash, explains the Rivash, zehu b'minakal. That's when it's just like a minag. It's just a light minag. Like, for example, the minag of Arava. This idea that you can't recite a bracha over a minag, it comes from the Gemara, by the way, in the Masechah Sukkah, that Hoshana Rabba, we take Aravos. Why do we take Aravos? We go around the bima with the Aravos. Some people shake the Aravos. Some people, we clap the Aravos. That's our minute to clap the Aravos on the floor. Where does this minute come from? It comes from that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, the mitzvah of Arava. They used to walk around the Mizbeach. The Kohanim would walk around the Mizbeach with the Arava, and then they would have these gigantic Arava branches, and they would lean them against the Mizbeach. The Arava branches were 11 amas tall. They were 22 amas tall, 20 feet tall, these tremendous Arava branches that they would lean against the Mizbeach. The Gemara in Sukkah continues that this was exclusive to the Beis HaMikdash. In order to have a Zecher LeMikdash, to remember the Beis HaMikdash, so we take a Ravis in Shul on a Shana Rabba. The Gemara says in Sukkah, is the mitzvah of a Rava, to take a Rava, to remind ourselves of the Beis HaMikdash, is this a Takana in the times of the Nevi'im? In which case we would recite a Bracha over it, because it would be a mitzvah derabbanan to take the Arava in Shul on a Shana Rabba? Or is it only a minhag of the Nevi'im to take Arava? And we paskin, it's a minhag. So the Gemara says there that because it's only a minhag, we don't recite a bracha. This is where it comes from, that you don't usually recite a bracha over a minhag. So asks the Rivash, if lighting in the shul is only a minhag, it's not the real mitzvah, so how do we recite a bracha over the minhag? So explains the Rivash that when the Gemara says in Sukkah that we don't recite a bracha over the minhag of Arava, that was a minhag kal. That's just a minhag zecher l'mikdash. It's just a minhag kal. However, bazeh, in this case, which is to be mefarsim the nes in the Beis HaKnesses Barabim, where the purpose of the minhag was to supplement the persume nisa that we're missing out, it almost takes on the form of a mitzvah, even though it's only a minhag, but it takes on the form of a mitzvah, and we recite a bracha on it. And he brings an example, just like the minhag is that we recite a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. The Hallel of Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. That's why we only recite half Hallel. We skip some of the parts to show that it's just a minhag. There's no obligation to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. We do recite Hallel on Chanukah, the full Hallel. We recite a bracha over it. It's a takana. It's an obligation to recite Hallel on Chanukah. The Hallel we recite on Rosh Chodesh is merely a minhag. Since it's only a minhag, so says the Rivash, we still recite a bracha over the Hallel because it's a minhag chashuv, even though it's only a minhag, and it's not a bracha levatala, like Rabbeinu Tam says. So if that's the case, says the Rivash, that we could institute a minhag and we could recite a bracha over the minhag. But again, the Rivash reminds us, like the Ramah says, that you cannot be yotze with the havaka that we're having in the shul, and you have to light at home. However, the bracha that we recite in shul is not a bracha levatala because we're allowed to recite a bracha over a minhag if it's a minhag chashuv. Okay. Now, the Chacham Tzvi asks a very interesting question. We mentioned the Chacham Tzvi last week. The Chacham Tzvi is a very exciting sefer. He always has these powerful insights. The Chacham Tzvi, this is the father of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Chacham Tzvi asks, Rabbi Tzvi Ashkenazi, he asks the following question. The Rivash just told us that we recite a bracha over the Ner Chanukah in Shul because you could recite a bracha over a minhag, and he cites Hallel of Rosh Chodesh as an example. Asks the Chacham Tzvi the obvious question. Ksas Kasha, wait a minute, the Shulchan Aruch himself in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh holds like the Rambam that we do not recite a bracha over a minhag. Even Hallel, the Svardim, who follow the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, they do not recite a bracha over the Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses because it's only a minhag. They do not make this distinction between a minhag chashuv and a minhag kal. They don't recite a bracha over Hallel of Rosh Chodesh in Shul. So if that's the case, says the Chacham Tzvi, then the raya, the proof, the precedent of the Rivash goes down the drain. The Rivash's whole precedent that we can recite a bracha over the menorah was from the fact that we recite a bracha over Hal on Rosh Chodesh. The Shulchan Aruch himself is of the opinion that we don't recite a bracha over a minhag, period. We don't recite a bracha according to the Shulchan Aruch. The Sfardim don't recite a bracha over Hal of Rosh Chodesh. So why does the Shulchan Aruch himself allow us to recite a bracha over the menorah that we light in Shulchan Aruch? That's a tremendous kasha, a great question of the Chacham Tzvi. And then the Chacham Tzvi, he bolsters this question with what we pointed out before. You know why the Rambam doesn't bring this minhag? Says the Chacham Tzvi, the Rambam, there's no mention of this minhag of lighting in shul with a bracha in the Rambam at all. You know why? Because the Rambam is of the opinion that you don't recite a bracha over a minhag. So whether or not people lit in shul or not, it was just a minhag, but there's no bracha associated. It's not a takana. It's not really any kind of mitzvah. And that's why the Rambam doesn't mention this minhag, because the Rambam would say that you can't recite a bracha. He was not promoting this minhag because you can't recite a bracha over such a minhag in the first place. That's the Chacham Tzvi. So there are two parts to the Chacham Tzvi.
Rabbi, doesn't the Rambam say that you can make a bracha, Shvarna can make a bracha on the halal, but it's not with a minion?
So that could be, there are different minhagim about that, but the Shulchan Aruch says not like that. The Shulchan Aruch says you don't recite a bracha on the hal. I can double check that, but the Shulchan Aruch says you don't recite a bracha on the hal on Rosh Chodesh.
That's the extent that you can make a bracha with a minion.
Right, that would be the case, right. But the Rambam's opinion is you don't recite a bracha on Rosh Chodesh at all. Right, even in Shul. So I'm going to double check that. I'm sorry?
Not even with the minhag.
Correct. There are different opinions about that, but that was the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch's opinion, not the recited bracha. I'm going to double check that, but I believe that that's the case. Now there are two parts. There are two parts of the Chacham Tzvi's point. He's making two points. Number one, the Rambam omits this minhag, and number two, the Chacham Tzvi asks, Michael, like you're saying, that the custom is not to recite a bracha on the halal in shul. So why would we recite a bracha? Why would the Shulchan Aruch himself promote the bracha on the menorah that we light in shul? Now, so this is my own chiddush, my own idea, that perhaps we can be miyashiv the kasha of the Chacham Tzvi based on this rivash. The Chacham Tzvi doesn't tell us what the basis of the minhag was, but the rivash explains that this minhag was a minhag chashiv to supplement the Pirsumei Nisa that we were missing at home. Once we started lighting the menorah in the house, and we're missing the publicizing of the mitzvah outside the house, that's why they instituted the minhag of lighting in the shul, in order to make up for that Pirsumei Nisa that we're missing with our hadlaka back at home. So this could really answer the Chacham Tzvi's question. You know why the Rambam omits it? Because in the times of the Rambam, it's clear in the Rambam they were still lighting outside. They were still lighting, at least in the Rambam's location, they were still lighting the menorah outside the home, so that it was before the minhag evolved, at least in the Rambam's locale, of lighting in the shul. Because according to the Rivash, the whole reason why we light in the shul is in order to make up for the Pirsumei Nisa that we're missing back home. In the Rambam's day, they were still lighting the menorah outside, so that's why it wasn't necessary to light the menorah in the shul. But once they moved the menorah into the home, which they were doing in other places already, and eventually they were doing that in Egypt and in Morocco as well, so perhaps we would start lighting in the shul, and perhaps we can start making a bracha as well. So that would answer at least the first part of the Chacham Tzvi. The reason the Rambam doesn't mention this minhag is because perhaps in the Rambam's day, they taka didn't light in the shul because they were still lighting outside. What about the fact that we recite a bracha, the second point of the Chacham Tzvi? How do we recite a bracha? So perhaps we can say, according to the Rivash, that the Rambam would agree, even the Rambam would agree, or the Shulchan Aruch, who says we don't recite a bracha over Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, would agree that we recite a bracha over the menorah in Shul, as he says. Perhaps we can explain based on a brisker Rav. The Griz writes in Hilchos Brachos, the Griz writes that this that we don't recite a bracha on a minhag, according to the Rambam. So why does the Rambam hold that we don't recite a bracha? So the first thing that would come to mind is because perhaps we can't say Vitzivanu. How can we recite a bracha? How can we say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashem Kedishanu B'mitzvosav Vitzivanu? How can we declare that Hashem commanded us to perform this minhag if it's only a minhag? That might be the first thing that comes to mind. But the Briska Rav points out that the Rambam says in his Hakadama that even on a minhag, on any official minhag that Chazal initiate in Klal Yisrael, there's the lav of Loi Sosur. It has the same force of following the mitzvah derabbanan as any other din derabbanan. Sometimes the Rabbanan call it a takana, and that means that if you don't do it, it's like an avera. Sometimes it has lesser force, it's only a minhag, where it's a lesser obligation. But says the Rambam in his Akdama, that even a minhag is backed with the pasuk of Laisasur. The pasuk tells us specifically, we're not allowed to deviate from anything the Chachamim say to the left or to the right. And to the extent that the Chachamim are telling us to do it, if they're telling us to do it, then we absolutely have to. And it's backed up with the Avera of Lo Sasser. You're not allowed to deviate from what the Chachamim say, and we have to do it. If the Chachamim instituted in the form of a minhag, then it's backed up to that extent with Lo Sasser. So even on a minhag, we could recite, it is Vitzivanu. We are commanded to listen to the words of the sages, even if they institute something only as a minhag. Says the Briska Rav, that the reason we don't recite a bracha is because on the cheftza of a minhag, like tiknu brachas, it's simply a rule that they weren't masak and they never enacted a bracha on a minhag. It's not that they couldn't have, it's not that it would be inappropriate to say vitzivanu, because there is an element of tzivoy. We are commanded to follow the sages, even when they initiate a minhag in Klal Yisrael. It's simply they decided not to make a bracha. They wanted to differentiate between a takana and between a minhag. So in order to differentiate, they weren't misakin a bracha on something that's inherently a minhag. But they could have, because it would be appropriate to say vitzivanu. But if what we're doing is, if the minhag is, that it's really a component of the mitzvah, the way the Rivash explains the custom of lighting in the shul, that it's supplementing, it's the other half of the mitzvah of hadlaka that we're missing nowadays back at home. And we try to replace that, we try to be mashlim that by lighting in the shul. So because it's an extension of the mitzvah, even the Rambam possibly could agree. The Rambam doesn't mention this minig at all. But the Shulchan Aruch, who does mention this minig, because the minig became to light inside, the Shulchan Aruch would say that we could recite a bracha on this minig. It's not a blanket rule that you can't recite a bracha on a minhag. It's not as if it's inappropriate to say vitzivanu. We could say vitzivanu. We could have. They could have been misak in the minhag. It's just, it's similar to what the Rivash said before. If it's purely a minhag, the Chazal simply were not misak in a bracha. But understanding it the way the Rivash understands, that the purpose of the Pesumei Nisa is to make up what we're missing in our hadlaka, it's almost like it's the second half of the mitzvah of the lighting. So then, this kind of minhag, perhaps it's appropriate to say vitzivanu, and the Chachamim would have enacted to make a bracha on this thing, and therefore even the Shulchan Aruch could agree. When we recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, where it's purely a minhag, and we even leave out parts of Hallel to show that it's not the real Hallel, then the Chachamim did not enact a bracha. We don't say a bracha. But over here, where it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of the Hadlaka, so therefore, perhaps the Rambam would agree, and the Shulchan Aruch says that we recite a bracha over the Hadlaka that we do in the shul. It's nechshav, it's considered to be a chelik of the mitzvah, and it's possible to make a bracha. I actually found something like this in Halicha Shlomo by Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. He actually writes, I cited this at the end of item Yud, that even the Rambam would agree to recite a bracha because it's nechshav part of the mitzvah, because it's nishtarviv mi mitzvah. It's an extension of the mitzvah. So I found this idea in Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal that the lighting of the shul, especially according to the understanding of the Rivash, it's an extension of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Now, in the Sefer Moed HaMizmanim, there are some interesting explanations now. So now we have three reasons. Let's just quickly review the three reasons of the Kalboy. Number one, we're lighting in shul to be moitzi those people who wouldn't light otherwise. The Beis Yosef explains that it's for the people that sleep in the shul. Nowadays, nobody's sleeping in the shul, or at least I hope people aren't sleeping in the shul. We continue lighting the menorah in the shul, not unlike we continue reciting the Kiddush Friday night in the shul. That's what the Beis Yosef says. The second reason of the kolbei, which now, based on the Rivash, is a very powerful and beautiful idea, that we light in the shul for Pursumei Nisa to actually supplement the component of Pursumei Nisa that we're missing in our Hadlaka back home. That's a beautiful, powerful idea. And this explains more robustly why it's such an... It's not just a holdover from before that doesn't make any sense. It actually is a very, very significant part of the mitzvah. It's a beautiful component of Pursumei Nisa. And that's why we recite a bracha. The third reason, which we'll still talk about, is Zeicher LeMikdash. The Moed HaMuzmanim writes, from Rav Sternbach, that he actually questions this. In Eretz Yisrael, nowadays, where a lot of people went back to the old way of lighting outside, where we now have the regular Pursumei Nisa in the actual Hadlaka at home. So the Moed HaMuzmanim says that according to the Rivash, perhaps we should stop lighting in shul with a bracha, because in Eretz Yisrael, we no longer need this supplement of lighting in the shul. So if the whole reason we're lighting in the shul is to make up the second half of Pursumei Nisa, so the Moed HaMuzmanim actually makes the point that perhaps he raises the question, perhaps when we light in shul in Eretz Yisrael, maybe we shouldn't make a bracha anymore. But the Moed HaMuzmanim admits, I write it in Item Yud Aleph, that Loira Mishahir Bezeh, he didn't see anybody who made this point. Apparently, even in Eretz Yisrael, when they are lighting outside, they continue lighting with a bracha in shul as well. The Moed HaMuzmanim is not sure why. The Poskim discuss, and this question was raised last week, is it appropriate, is it recommended, is it encouraged that a child should light the menorah in shul? So people were saying last week that some rabbanim, sometimes they specifically wanted a child to light. Other people were saying that some rabbanim, they specifically want a gadol to write. So I saw that the poskim discussed this, and the Kshuvis v'Hanhagis in Chelek Aleph Siman Shin Sadik Zayin actually takes like a very halachic perspective. Let's go through the three reasons of the kolbei, right? Let's not just philosophize if it's a beautiful thing for a child to light or not. Let's go through from a halachic perspective. Does it make sense that a child lights? According to the first reason of the kolbei, the Beis Yosef's reason, that the reason is because we want to be moitzi, the people that need this halacha because they're staying in the shul. At least that's how it used to be. So if that's the case, a child should not light the menorah. Because the whole reason why we're lighting the menorah in shul is to help the people that wouldn't light otherwise to be yotze with this hadlaka. We mentioned last week that there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. If a child could be yotze an adult, then it's... And although we pointed out that in Hilchus Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch is a little bit more open to it, in Hilchus Megillah, he completely rules that you need to be an adult to read the Megillah. In Hilchus Chanukah, at least the Shulchan Aruch entertains the other opinion, but still, he still says that you should have a gavel like the menorah. So if the reason is to be moitzi misha einloi, apparently a child should not be the one to light the menorah, because originally the purpose of this kindling was to be moitzi those who need to have the hadlaka. Would anybody allow a child to make the kiddush in the shul, right? A lechar or not? Because the purpose of the minig was to be moitzi those who really needed the kiddush. So I don't think anybody would have a child recite the kiddush Friday night in shul. The child drinks the wine, but you wouldn't have a child recite the kiddush. That wasn't the original minig. According to the second reason of the kolbei, which is the reason that the Rivash expounds on, that it's to be mekayim de presumei nisa. So again, if we look at it the way the Rivash looks at it, that it's to be mashlim, it's to supplement the component of Pursumei Nisa that we need for the mitzvah, it's also part of the mitzvah. And that's how we explained why even the Rambam would agree that we recite a bracha, because it's an extension of the mitzvah. So then again, perhaps it wouldn't be appropriate to have a child light the menorah, because we're all fulfilling some element of the hadlaka with the hadlaka in the Beis HaKnesses. And just like the Shulchan Aruch says that it's better to have an adult light the menorah for the household, so seemingly it would be better to have an adult light the menorah on behalf of the congregation to supplement this Pursumei Nisa that we're lacking in our own hadlaka. According to the third reason of the kolbei, that it's Zecher LeMikdash, that it reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, according to that reason, nobody is using this hadlaka to be yotzei. It's simply to remind us of the menorah that they lit in the Beis HaMikdash. According to this reason, then seemingly there will be no objection to a child lighting. So if a child wants the light, so even at home, the Shulchan Aruch entertains the notion of a child lighting on behalf of the household. It's not the worst thing in the world, but probably the two out of the three reasons, it will be better for an adult to light the menorah in the shul as well. Where did this custom come from to light the menorah during the day? Because again, that's not part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah was to light the menorah at night. So the Binyan Shlomo, also from Shlomo Zalman, he writes that the custom to light the menorah in the morning in shul is based on the third reason of the Kolbei. The Kolbei's third reason was that the menorah in the shul corresponds to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, Zeichel HaMikdash. And again, the Rambam Shita is that the Hatava Saneris, the Torah discusses that they would have the Hatava, they would clean the menorah and prepare the menorah during the morning, and they would kindle the menorah at night. The Rambam has a Mechudesh Dikashita, he's a minority opinion, in Hilchas Tmidin Umusafin, that the Rambam writes in item Yud Gimel, Dishan HaMenorah B'Hatovas HaNeiris B'Boiker. The Rambam writes that cleaning the menorah and preparing the menorah in the morning, Ubein Horbaim, and in the afternoon kindling the menorah, is all a mitzvah saseh, it's a positive commandment in the Torah. Mahu Dishan HaMenorah, the Rambam describes, what was the mitzvah of cleaning the menorah in the morning? Kol ner shekava, any ner on the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash that it was extinguished. Meser hapsila, you would remove the wick, the kol hashemesh shebener, and all the oil, umekanche, and you would wipe out the menorah. Umadlik ner shekava, and they would rekindle the neris in the morning that were extinguished overnight. And hadloka saneris hi hatavasam, and when the pasuk describes cleaning the menorah and preparing the menorah, that was actually, they kindled it as well. It's a very interesting Rambam, because the pasuk seems to say that they prepared the menorah in the morning and they kindled the menorah at night, but the Rambam has a shita mechudesh, as he has a novel opinion, that part of the cleaning and preparing the menorah in the morning was also kindling it. Apparently the main mitzvah was in the evening, but there was an inyan that the menorah should be kindled 24/7. So the mitzvah was done at night, but they would sort of help it along. They would rekindle it in the morning as well. So the Rambam Shita is that Hatavas HaNeiris, which we normally translate as the preparing the menorah, the cleaning of the menorah, also included rekindling any candle that burnt out. So the Rambam held they used to light the menorah in the day as well. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman that the custom to light the menorah in the morning by the Shachris also, although we're clearly not being Yotze Menorah at all, the mitzvah is to light after Shki or after Tzei, so in the between and Ben Hashmashas, the mitzvah of the minute for lighting shul in the morning corresponds to the third reason of the Kolbei, Zecher LeMikdash. The Tshuva Sarashba, the Rashba in Simon Shin Tes in his Tshuva, see he there very lengthily, he argues on the Rambam that in the Beis HaMikdash, he disagrees vehemently that they did not light the candles in the Beis HaMikdash, that our custom to light in the shul, those that do, it's corresponding to the third reason of the Kolbei, Zecher LeMikdash, according to the Rambam. So that would explain where this minute comes from. So just in short, we have these three reasons why we light. Number one, we light because to be moitzi the people that can't, and it's sort of grandfathered in, not unlike Kiddush. Number two, we're lighting, according to the Rivash, to make up for the Persumi Nisa that we're missing, and that would explain why the Rambam makes no mention of this custom, because in the Rambam's day, they were still lighting outside in his locale. And the third reason is Zecher LeMikdash, and that would explain why we can even light the menorah during the day, to have a Zecher to remind ourselves of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, at least according to the Rambam's opinion. We should be Zecher Taka to the Bias HaMashiach, where we have the true Beis HaMikdash and the menorah. We can see the Kohanim B'Avodasam and the Levim B'Duchanim, and we should all be Zecher once again to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz HaKadosh the way we're meant to be. Yasha Koyach, everybody. Afreilich Chanukah.